Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us for another week. We've got Ava's here.
I'm here.
Don's here.
I'm here.
I'm here. I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. We've got a lot of fun coming up, guys. We are going to be talking a little bit about crappies. We're going to talk a little bit about Michigan hunters and how they rated their 2023 deer hunting season. And the DNR is going to be changing in Michigan how they count wolves. I think always a controversial topic. That and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors Radio Show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you guys.
It's always good to be seen.
Then viewed.
Yes, that's true.
Ava, what's up?
Not a whole lot, man. Enjoying the warm weather.
You got the Peanuts characters on the sweatshirt
today. Yeah,
Charles
Schultz, man. Got to represent Minnesota.
It's so outdoorsy.
It's so outdoorsy. Do you know who really likes this sweatshirt?
Your girls.
Bobby. Yeah, she follows me around. Okay, and get this. And I know it's the sweater because she doesn't look me in the eye. She's looking at my sweater as I'm walking around the house. And then when you pick her up, she points and puppy, birdie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good one. Good sweatshirt.
I picked it out.
Yeah, I noticed it.
It's a fun one.
Exactly, exactly. Well, speaking of fun one, Don, I think the topic of conversation amongst pretty much all of my outdoor friends, fishing friends, skiing friends, all my peeps that have been out in the outdoors, we're all kind of blown away and not exactly sure what the next thing coming is going to be. We've got weather that is nothing like I've ever experienced.
In this time of year.
Yeah. Ever.
I've seen it in June before.
Not quite this many ups and downs into extremes, though.
No, I mean, recently we had quite an extreme here in Minnesota anyway, where you went from about a 40-degree switch from one day to the next, if not more than that.
Yeah, I think it was actually
more than that. And it's going back
the
other way another day later, so I'm okay with that. By the time we're done with this program, it's going to be really nice out.
True.
Yes.
Well, depending on what you're doing.
Well, it's still going to be nice out.
Relatively.
Temperature-wise, yes.
Yeah. If you're going skiing, it's not going to be so good.
Oh, that's done with, isn't it?
No. Unfortunately, this is a shout-out to some of my cohorts that are going for their next level of instruction out of Afton Alps. There's a big professional ski instructor test going on, and I've helped them prepare for the test. But I can honestly say I've never skied in 60 some odd degree weather in my life.
Oh, really?
And when you're being tested on different skiing maneuvers and it's that thick and basically difficult to ski in, you're challenging yourself but also challenging what actually the examiner can see in what you're doing. So shout out to those guys. I know it's going to be difficult for them to go through that and on the slopes this weekend, but best of luck to you guys. Best of luck to ice fishermen. I'm telling you, this is a very dangerous time, so you guys watch it. Tough to say whether.
Well, the words pretty much get your house off the
well,
ice.
Well, that's a given. Obviously, yeah. The end of this month is the end. You have to have your houses off, but those that are going to go, quote-unquote, is this the second early early ice fishing out or third? I don't remember. How many times has the ice gone out this year?
Oh, yeah. Well, Depends upon where.
Three or four times.
I mean, in our part of the Midwest.
I mean, Lake Pepin's just about all open already.
But the core part of the Midwest, I mean, literally, it's 1 minute yes, 1 minute no, or marginally, so you can't do either. But I will say this, the river right now is officially on fire.
Yeah.
They are catching them. And what I will say is this, they're not in their normal spots. They are, there's some deeper spots. Take your time to go not just up at the dam, and you're going to be very surprised that those fish are there. And the very surprising, Don, is this, the plastics aren't cutting it. I've fished plastics in this river for years, and when you go head-to-head against a minnow right now, you might as well pack it in. Minnows are the ticket.
I've heard there's been a lot caught on plastic, though.
There have been?
Yes.
But right now, it's just
I'm just going to encourage people to put a few of them back.
Oh, of course.
I'm seeing a lot of limits coming out of there. It's, wow.
But again, your limit is limited, which is nice, and you only get 1/20. Which is good,
yeah.
And you can only get 4, so that's not such a bad thing either. But I don't know. I'm a little baffled.
Well, it's doing well. It's one of the attractions to our area anyway, because we've got open water early, and everybody's fine-tuning, getting ready for the season.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of fishing? What methodology, what do you like to do best?
Bottom bounce.
Really?
That and jig.
Hands down, my thing is jig.
Yeah.
I perfected. I think I've done pretty well at it. I've won a lot of money doing it. And more importantly, when you fish with 3 or 4 other guys and they're getting mad at you because you got number 9 on and they've got 1 or 2.
Right.
And the funny part about it, and it always comes up, how in the world, what are you doing differently? And so often when I'm watching other guys, they're lifting it too far off the bottom. They're not constantly checking where they are in the bottom.
Sure.
You don't need a lot of movement, just enough to move the jig and make the minnow move a little bit. 3-4 inches off the bottom, bring it back up, and constantly stay in that strike zone. And as soon as you feel just a nudge, a bump, or whatever. And I always say hook sets are free. Right. They really are. If you set the hook and there's nothing there, guess what? No harm, no foul. It doesn't cost you a dime. But if you don't, and you bring that bait up, you thought it was something, and the bait's gone, your minnow's gone or whatever, or the plastic's pulled almost off the hook, guess what? You should have done that.
Yeah. It was.
And so, yeah, I like the jigging aspect for me is a big thing. Bottom bouncing can be fun, but not in a lake.
Well, there's so many different scenarios where it makes sense and where jigging is. I mean, if I have the option, I'd much prefer to catch fish jigging.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot more.
Pitch and jigs is fun.
Yeah.
Vertical jigging is the big one for me that really works well. You're covering territory.
Yep.
But again, three ways can work the same way. You know, bottom bouncer, same kind of concept. But I think that's where this really, you can spend a lot of time learning right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part about it.
Good time to practice.
Have some fun. Weather's going to be great. Enjoy that. Tell you what, we're going to be right back. We got some cool stories. And one of them is going to be kind of a yellow and gold story. Coming back.
Got it.
Welcome back, you guys. Appreciate you guys hanging in there. And, of course, we always like to invite you to check us out. Where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Facebook.
Yeah, it's always good to have help all the way across the board. We're trying to keep everybody up to date on Facebook to also what shows are coming up and what to highlight, what you should be looking for coming down the pipe. So I'm working at that part of it, and should be consistently coming from now on. So that's kind of cool. I mentioned a gold and yellow surprise, and part of this is the gold comes from the trophy this guy is going to be getting, and the yellow is from the fact this guy is from Georgia, and he caught a fish that wasn't anticipating, which happened to be a yellow perch. Now, normally it doesn't yellow perch. It's like, okay, it's a perch, whatever. However, this particular one is this gentleman out of, I'm trying to figure out where he was from. It was on Lake Burton where he caught this particular fish. And what he said is he was confused. He hooked the fish because it didn't fight like a bass, because he normally would fish for bass. And he was surprised when he saw the yellow, which, okay, have you ever eaten anything? You think it's going to be one thing and it's something else. Like you think something's butter and you take it, put it on at a restaurant and it turns out it's sour cream. And you take a bite. And you're
I'm sure, whoa, I'm sure what,
what's
happened.
Up with that?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he saw the yellow coloring and he got really excited. He realized it was a huge perch. Called his dad, the one who taught him to fish, and he told him flat out, get off the lake and get it weighed now. Smartest move. Normally,
how big a fish are we talking here?
Hang on.
All right.
Normally, you hear the stories about, I caught this fish and I didn't think it was that big, so we just hung on to it in the boat and brought it in later, and we couldn't find a certified scale. And turns out, after 5 hours, it's still past the record, but only by this, like a hair. And it could have been multiple pounds over, or it was just under. Well, he's now tied the state record that was set in 2013 after catching his own 2-pound, 9-ounce, 16-inch long yellow perch.
16-incher. It's a nice perch.
Never heard of anything like that. I catch caught a lot of big ones before, but that is, let's just say, rather large. And,
gentleman was from Georgia?
From Georgia.
And he caught it in?
Lake Burton,
which is
Georgia.
In Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. And they're a product of the North Georgia Walleye Stock Program, believe it or not.
Really?
Part of that, yep. If you're looking to get your hands on some of the record sizes, the officials noted these larger fish are typically reeled in early spring. I would bet that holding state record is a great motivator for, and the state DNR chief mentioned, motivator to take advantage of the amazing opportunities throughout the state for the next record. They were talking a lot about what they've done with the stocking and the fishery itself. I'm not going to go into the detail on it, but they've done a pretty extensive stocking program with walleye as well. And is that not cool or what?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a neat deal. So, I was very pleased to see that. Now, one that's not so pleasing, we talked a little bit about this down in the off the air. There was a Kansas fisherman who had a crappie record recently, and it has now been removed from a state record because they happened to find, yes, you guessed it, steel weights in the fish's stomach.
Wasn't lead?
No, eventually it was steel.
Oh.
They removed a local angler's record after investigating a citizen claim that the fish's weight may not be accurate. Last April, this person, I'm not going to mention his name, he's awarded a new state record after he reeled in a white crappie weighing 4 pounds, 7 ounces, which is
big.
That's a toad. 5 days after certifying the record, the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks or something like that. Yeah, Wildlife and Parks received a tip from an eyewitness who made claims against the fisherman and whether his catch was valid. The tip stated the fish had been weighed at a separate location and at one point weighed only 3.73 pounds. In an effort
What did it end up weighing?
4.07 pounds.
So they added about 6 ounces somehow.
In an effort to preserve the integrity of the department's state record program, game wardens reached out to Parkhurst for a reexamination. The angler voluntarily presented the department with his fish. When the staff used a handheld metal detector to scan the fish, detected the presence of metal, and wardens took then the fish to the Topeka Zoo for an X-ray, where it was revealed 2 steel ball bearings were inside the fish. And it resulted in the removal of the Parkhurst record, and they have since made the fish available to return to Parkhurst. and then reinstated the previous record set by Frank Miller in 1964 after his 4.02 pounds.
Okay, well, anything happened to this person for trying to deceive the record?
Getting to it. The case has not been tried in a court of law, so the department cannot comment on how the seal's balls got inside the fish. This is not the first time officials have had to investigate a weighted fish scandal. We know the other one.
Right.
That was the Ohio guys, and they forfeited a boat after admittedly stuffing fish with lead weights. And, yeah, bad deal all the way around. I just...
That's a pretty cool photo, actually.
Isn't it, though? See that, Ava?
I wonder, could you put that on Facebook?
Yeah, I could take a photo of it and put it on Facebook.
That'd be kind of interesting, put a little story with it.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, that particular gig, shall we say.
That didn't work out so well.
No.
And unfortunately, he's going to end up having some, he's going to have some legal fees.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have to admit.
Best to be honest.
Yeah, no question. Coming out of Michigan, you know, we've had an up and down year in looking at the different states' hunting results. Down, you know, Wisconsin had some issues. They're mulling having to cut out the antlerless completely is one of the options that Wisconsin's looking at.
Really?
And there's a lot of different pluses and minuses. But in this particular evaluation from hunters, so a direct result of an interview that they've done with hunters, nearly two-thirds of Michigan's Upper Peninsula hunters take and rate the 2023 deer season as poor.
Really?
Out of Marquette, Michigan, the DNR annual Upper Peninsula Deer Camp Survey from this year, and this is firearms, confirmed. Sightings and deer success were down significantly from the year before, especially in the region's western counties. Buck hunting was as a success was actually increased slightly in eastern counties. Across the UP, those that participated said they saw about 2.2 deer per hunter day compared to 3.4 in 2022. Yikes. That's a big number to be down.
Yep.
The only year with the lower average sightings per day was in 2015 following a severe winter when it was an average of 1.6 per hunter day. Highest number of deer seen per day during the 2023 season was on November 27th and 28th at 2.9 and 3.0, respectively. So other brief numbers, Don, to hit on the highlights of this.
This is in Wisconsin, though.
Michigan, yep. The UP, more numbers from the survey. Percentage of hunters who shot a buck over the entire UP was down to 19% from 24% in 2022. So about a 5% drop in that period. Lowest buck hunting success across the region recorded was 14% in 2015. Highest was in 2014. Number of fawns observed per 100 does. Across the UP was 44 compared to 53 in 2022. here's the big one, though. When you have hunter participation, it's kind of an example in the river. If you notice a lot of people go out and they catch fewer saugers, everybody's saying, well, how come we don't have saugers, right? There's a big conversation. In this particular case, 77% of the camps felt there were fewer deer in the area. That's a big number. That's a consensus.
Well, especially during the season because there's a lot of people in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of eyeballs out there keeping an eye. You know,
especially looking. Michigan.
Yes.
That you know, you guys over there, you love the hunting, and that's awesome. I love that. Between the bow and rifle, muzzleloader, all the other seasons that are out there, that's a big deal out there. Two-thirds of the respondents rated the season as poor. 25% thought it was fair, and, of course, 11% good. Of course, the 2% that said it was excellent, of course, they all.
They put a hurt on the hurt.
They put a hurting on it, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
The Western UP put up the worst numbers. Deer sightings were down from 3.5. 18% success from 28. So.
It's about a third.
That's a big number. And
about a third down.
Or more.
Yep.
And so, yeah, Eastern UP fared a little bit better.
And well, I don't know that this is really a surprise, because we've been hearing about this now for 3-4 months that the harvest was down at the end of the season, and now that even sightings are declined.
And so the bottom line here, the note, kind of the footnote to this, declining numbers in participation in the survey may prevent them from doing the survey at all. So there's been a 40% decline since 2013 as far as participating in the actual survey.
Is it a volunteer survey?
Yeah. So, guys, I think it's about time we start looking in this scenario and saying, is it helping us understand what's going on and manage, or is it not? You know what I mean? Because otherwise you're going to be in – what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Is it going to help or not? And I think in the situation here, it gives you an indication of is this not a good thing to do?
Well, more information is better than none.
Well, and I guess – is it used for the right thing? Is it used to help manage the population, or are they doing it and there's nothing being used?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the Department of Natural Resources.
Exactly, but the same thing holds true when you go to Mille Lacs or go to the other lakes. And they okay, how many fish did you catch? And it happened down here in Pepin, right? So they basically say, oh, fishery's healthy. No problem. It's fine. And most of us noticed there was a significant reduction in sauger population. And I'm talking the big saugers, not, 15 to 17s. We're talking 20 to 24-inch saugers. They were absent. And big reason was, in spring, it's the old big or small, take them all.
And right. I mean,
and that's an issue. And that's why we helped get this 4 fish and 1 over 20. Because, I've seen guys taking 11-pounders, putting in a stringer. And they're like, hey, you going to weigh it? Yeah, I want to weigh it. Well, they thought, wait a minute. Here he pulls it in a stringer. I didn't realize that, what are you going to do with it? Well, I'm going to eat it. I get it if you think it's going to be, you're going to mount it or do whatever. And he's like, no, I'm going to eat it.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I fish with a lot of different groups, and I pretty much tell them if they're going to continue to go with me, they're going to need to keep their sizes down. And just out of courtesy to the fishery, we're going to see it already in one of the lakes I fish in Canada. We went 2 years with no fishing in Lake of the Woods. You would think the fishery just bubbled, blew up. And each year that we've been there since the pandemic, the fishing's been phenomenal. And a lot of bigger fish.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to change the size limits on it this year because people were taking them. And I go, why? I mean, that's your fishery to reap, that's going to build it back up and keep it that way. So, I mean, when it comes to eating a walleye, what's the ideal size?
18-inch, 17-inch. That's my, I would take, that's to balance out the size, the meal, and everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to eat them, 16 is probably, maybe 17 is the best, quote-unquote, eater size.
Right.
But if you're going to go with a bunch of guys and you want to be able to have a meal for everybody,
but
usually it's a little bit bigger.
Cleaning 22, 23, 24-inch walleyes.
No.
I just, say, I hope you're enjoying this trip because you won't be on this one next year.
And the only thing I will say, Don, the only difference to that, and I will say this because I know this for years of looking, watching, and seeing, Erie is one of the bodies of water that is
that's a different scenario. That's a,
right. But what I'm saying is there are waters that are so different. And when you look at a trophy, what's your personal best?
29 3/4.
Okay. I've got some 33s, but the point really comes down to whatever fishery that you have as your focus, and that's the place you fish the most, your fish, it could be a fishery that the record size on that, or the biggest size you're going to get, is a 26 incher. And you have these people that are going to come in and they find a pot of 23, 24 inchers, and they lay waste to it. That's going to have far more impact on that type of fishery
than
on Erie, yes, or whatever other body of water. But I understand and I agree, there's catching and keeping a 23, 24, 25 inch fish when that's not an abundance of that particular fish on that body of water. Pool 5 right now, there's some Facebook posts day after day after day after day. They're catching monster perch.
Yeah, I've seen them.
Okay. And they're saying what they're saying is the DNR has said there is a major overpopulation of perch that needs to be cut because it is eating all the fry. They are literally dominating all the fry.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, something I think we'll watch as this comes up, but I think it's something that we need to look at. And we got a story for next week that we didn't quite get to. It's regarding the state looking at reducing limits to 4 fish across the state. So
You're talking Minnesota?
Yep, okay. State of Minnesota. And I'm going to try and find some other states, and we've talked about it a little bit before, but we'll kind of revisit and give us perspective on where we are at in that situation. So, it's a topic that it's coming up more often, let's put it that way,
yep,
as we encounter some either stronger fisheries or weaker fisheries and they're diminishing. So, tell you what, this is the show. It's a wrap. For Don, Ava, myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for being here. We will talk to you next week.